Our brother Jay's subject for the weekend is looking for the kingdom, and his exhortation is entitled, The Commandments. Now it's my pleasure to call upon our brother Jay to deliver us the words of exhortation.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, and loving greetings to you from the brethren at Book Road. About 2 years ago, I was getting up very early in the morning, this particular morning, and although I'm not the kind of person to normally be struck by nature necessarily, I was struck this one morning early when I saw the light of the sunset out on the front lawn. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes if the light is just right, when the sun comes up, it gives everything a pinkish hue. Sometimes you might notice that as the sun goes down and it can be more orange as the sun's going down. It doesn't happen all the time. It's just sometimes. It was a very memorable morning, just for that reason. And I remember mentioning it to brothers and sisters at the meeting, and there were those in a different part. We're near Caledonia, and these brothers and sisters were in Ancaster, and they said, yeah, I saw that too. I saw that same light, that same sunrise. It's one of those mornings you just don't forget. And sometimes when we see the amazing creativity of our God, we're struck with his artfulness and his wisdom. Well, there was a morning for the children of Israel that stuck with them as well. We actually read about that morning in Deuteronomy chapter 18. It was a morning that was actually burned into the memory of the children of Israel for generations and is still there in their minds this day in the reading of Moses. It was a morning like no other in history, ever, without any exaggeration. And we read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 18 at verse 15. These words were spoken in a very dramatic morning. It says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly. See, this is a very specific day when these words were promised. It was a very specific day. It was in the day of the assembly. And although Deuteronomy doesn't tell us that, when we go back to Exodus chapter 19, we find out that it was, in fact, in the morning. So just turn with me in your Bibles back to Exodus chapter 19, when these words initially were promised. And in Exodus chapter 19, these were those days of the coming up out of the land of Egypt. And this was the day when Israel was about to be constituted a kingdom of priests. And it says in verse 16 that it came to pass on the third day in the morning, these memorable events took place. Well, what was that morning like? There was no pinkish hue that morning at all. There was everything that was the opposite of that morning 2 years ago in this area. There were thunders. And there were lightnings. And there was a thick cloud upon Mount Sinai. And the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people in the camp trembled, and all the people included, as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, Moses himself, who exceedingly feared and quaked, it says. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him by a voice. So just put yourself there. Put yourself there in that area of ground before the foot of the mountain. And in the morning, where you would usually find bright sunshine, you find a thick cloud, thick darkness. And you find more than that, you find smoke and thunder and lightning and the trumpet louder and longer sounding. In addition to that, it describes the earthquake and the wind and the burning fire. And out of the darkness, you would see flickers of light as the lightning would have been moving around. And then a glow from the fire, that light of the fire. And out of the midst of the fire, you would have heard a voice. You would have heard the word. There was darkness. There was the light of the manifestation of the glory of God in the fire. And out of that came the voice. And the Lord Jesus Christ was promised. Come back with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now that we have a little bit more background about this day of the assembly, which is what the children of Israel were to reflect upon here. This new generation of the children of Israel now, about to enter the land of promise, poised upon entry into this great land of promise that they were looking forward to, this new generation was looking forward to as they grew up in the wilderness. Now, we mentioned that this promise of the prophet in verse 15 was actually given in Exodus chapter 19. And we know that for sure. We know that for sure because of what it says in the few verses that follow. So in verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, when they said, excuse me, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And Moses said that the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, Moses, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now, this is unquestionably and ultimately about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's spoken at this particular time to the children of Israel. Now, were the children of Israel in this generation, brothers and sisters, right now, in covenant relationship with their God or out of covenant relationship with their God? And the answer is, they were not yet in covenant relationship with their God. And we know that because it's not until they come into the land of promise in Joshua and are circumcised that they become part of the covenant of God. And yet the promise and the warnings of the coming Messiah that they would have to hear about were still given to them. The words that they were to understand and to either follow or not follow were presented to them, even though they were not yet in covenant as a nation. It's unquestionably about the Lord Jesus Christ, as we said. So we look at verse 15. Let's just pick up a couple of the phrases here. It says that this prophet would be raised up from the midst of them, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken. So where it speaks about in verse 15, how it was to be of thy brethren. We understand that to mean that the Lord Jesus Christ was made like his brethren. He was made of flesh and blood. And not only was he going to be raised up in the sense of being brought into existence by the power of the Spirit of God, as we just sang in hymn 295, but he was also to be raised up from the grave among his brethren. And God put his words into his mouth. And God gave him a commandment. That's what it says at the end of verse 15. He shall speak unto them, unto the people, all that I shall command him. So he received a commandment from God. And then it says in verse 19, it shall come to pass that whoever will not hearken, whoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Have you ever thought about what that means? What does it mean that God will require it? What will God require of those who disobey the words of this great prophet that he was about to raise up? The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. What will he require? And on top of that, brothers and sisters, when will God require that? Well, just for the next few moments, that's what we hope to understand from this. And to see the wonderful, powerful, and inspiring teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ that he explains to us from Deuteronomy chapter 18. The best place that we can go to understand what Deuteronomy chapter 18 really means is to go to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, where he quotes these words in John chapter 12. Would you turn with me there? To the Gospel of John at chapter 12. Very explicitly does the Lord Jesus Christ quote from the words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18 in this chapter. But what's more than the quotations, brothers and sisters, is the visual that we began with as well. Remember we talked about that morning, that morning where there was darkness to the children of Israel. And yet out of the darkness there was the light of the fire, and then the voice that came out of the midst of the fire, where that light was. Do you remember that? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, I would suggest, is reflecting back upon that time when the prophet like unto Moses was prophesied to come. And in verse 46 of John chapter 12, we need to go back to verse 44. Verse 44, it says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." And now verse 44. Jesus cried and said, so he lifts up his voice and he says, "He that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me sees him who sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." And so Jesus starts to make this contrast between light and darkness here. And he says that if you believe on me, you're not really believing on me. You're not really hearing my words. You're hearing the words of him who sent me. That's Deuteronomy chapter 18. Just as it was that the light came out of the darkness and the voice came out of the light in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And now Jesus is about to quote from this passage of Scripture. He says in verse 47, If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives my words has one who judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which hath sent me gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Do you see what the Lord Jesus is saying here in John chapter 12? He's saying, if you hear my words, you're receiving my Father's words. You're hearing my Father's words because he put those words inside me. He's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 18. God had given him a commandment, what he should say and what he should speak. And this helps answer one of the questions that we just asked. Remember the two questions we asked from Deuteronomy chapter 18. What does it mean that God will require it, and when will it be? We get the answer right here where Jesus explains Deuteronomy chapter 18. He says, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day. There is a time in the future that is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the judge based upon the words that he's received. It's not him himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, only. It's not his idea, that is to say. It's the Father who is in him. It's the word, the commandment that has been put in him, which is the authority by which he will judge at the last day. When will God require it? At the last day. So what will he require at that last day? And the answer to that question is that he will require an answer. Every man shall give an account, it says. And so he's teaching here resurrectional accountability. Words which were spoken to the Jews, to a generation in Deuteronomy chapter 18 who had not yet been in covenant with him. Or not yet been in covenant with God because they had not yet been circumcised. And yet the force of the teaching of John 12 is that the Lord Jesus Christ gives his word, and our response or lack of response to it, whether we're in covenant relationship or not, is the basis upon which we will give an account of our lives. Now, certainly, these words apply to us, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, we have to ask the question as to whether or not we are receiving or rejecting the words of Christ. We have to think about whether or not the words of Christ are written in our hearts or not. Do we think of the word that he has spoken that aren't his words but are his Father's words? Do we strive to live by them? When we come to these emblems, we think about whether or not we really want the blessing that our God has offered to us deep down inside, whether or not it is the most important thing in our lives or not. And do we talk about these things when we sit at home with our families, when we walk around, when we drive around, when we go to bed, when we wake up, when we are with our children or our friends, or at work, when we are with our wife or our husband? We have to answer these questions honestly. But these words, as much as they apply to us, brothers and sisters, apply to all of those who hear the words of Christ and who understand. And so to the baptized among us here, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we receiving or rejecting the word? And for the unbaptized here, we have to think, are we receiving or rejecting the word? Because the Lord Jesus Christ says that we must both give an account. Now, I just want to share a very brief story that I've shared before with you, before we draw our minds finally to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a young man, I remember going to my mom and asking her a question which parents, I hope your children ask you, which is that, when do I know that I'm ready to be baptized? And my mom said, well, I don't know your heart, but when you know and understand the truth, you hear the words and you understand, you have to make that decision. And God knows when you're learning, she said to me, and he's not going to be unfair or unjust, but if we know what we're supposed to do and we don't do it, the Lord Jesus Christ can call us to account and ask us why. And I can't tell you how important the answer to that question was, because depending on her answer, that could have done one of two things to me. That could have either said, well, she could have kind of blown the question off and told me that I'm just simply not ready. Or she could have answered the way that she did, which really kept the question of baptism on the forefront of my mind for the next year as a young person, thinking, I got to make sure that I keep this as a priority. And I'm thankful that my mom did that. And she didn't open up clause 24 of the BASF to show me. She didn't even crack open John chapter 12 for me. She just gave me the counsel that I needed. But she understood and believed how important that principle is for me to understand as a young person and for all of us to understand as we stand before God. Now, we haven't yet finished John chapter 12. And the reason we haven't is because I want to ask you one more question to think about before we go there. Brothers and sisters, if you could summarize all of the words that it was that the Father put into the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you were to summarize the commandment that was given, that Moses speaks about in Deuteronomy chapter 18, that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about in John chapter 12, if you were to summarize it into two words, what would they be? Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ summarizes them in two words? He summarizes all the teaching. He summarizes all the words that were put into his mouth. And as much of a warning as we can take from his words, we also know that primarily his words are so positive and hopeful and appealing. And he says what he does in John chapter 12 at verse 50. Verse 49 for context, he says, after speaking about the judgment and those who will reject him and his words, he says that they will be judged in the last day by the word. But in verse 49, I have not spoken of myself, he says. The Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment. Deuteronomy 18 says, he put the words in my mouth, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Because that's what he wants to give us. And so anytime we think about the goodness and the severity of God, we have to remember the principle, which is that God wants to give us life, and it's his good pleasure to do that. How can we say no to that? So, to the unbaptized, take courage. Brothers and sisters, take courage. Because the purpose for which the Lord Jesus Christ was sent was to bless us with life everlasting. How can we say no to that? The command is life. The Father wants us in his kingdom. The Son wants us in the kingdom with him. It is prepared for us. It is his good pleasure to give it to us. The kingdom is a reality. A new morning is coming. Don't you want to be there? With your family, with all of our families? And if we really want it more than anything else in the whole world, we'll be there.